I invite you to listen with me to the readings from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Thomas. And if you'd like to read along, the scriptures may be found on the back side of your bulletin. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of bones of the dead and all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, then you will enter the kingdom of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me if you will. God of grace, may the words of my mouth and may all the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. If you're familiar with a magazine called Christianity Today, there was an article in it this month that gave the results of a new Barna study. The report indicated that only 1 in 7 Christians managed to hold Christ-like beliefs and also to act in Christ-like ways. The terms of the article that were used were hypocrite and Pharisee. 1 in 7 Christians managing to hold Christ-like beliefs and to act in Christ-like ways. We hear the accusation from those outside the church. We discover it in research studies. There is a perception that there is a disconnection between what Jesus taught and what his followers show. A disconnection between what Christians say they believe and what we act and behave and do. Jesus taught compassion, nonviolence, humility, non-judgment, the very things that we Christians are sometimes accused of, quite the opposite. In other words, our outward appearance is different than what we would hope is our inner convictions. And indeed, that is what we call hypocrisy. It's a big problem for the church, but the problem is it's not a new problem. It's been around since pre-Christianity, because Jesus addressed it in many of his teachings. A warning against hypocrisy was a theme that ran through so many of his stories. Jesus scolded the religious leaders who taught one thing and did another. He scolded the Pharisees who wore the fancy robes and looked all holy on the outside and saying, but inside they were full of greed and self-indulgence. He scolded his followers who stood in judgment of others without first examining their own lives. He scolded those who would throw stones at others without looking first at their own misdeeds. He chastised those who got so caught up in the letter of the law that they trampled upon the intent of the law. And he reminded people of the greatest commandments, the ones that were really at the core of all of his teachings, to love God with all of our being, all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, every fiber of who we are, and to love our neighbor as our very self. Jesus' followers must love. And love is not about a mushy feeling. And love is not about earning brownie points with God. It's not about appeasing God who needs our worship as though God's divinity is dependent upon us. No, loving God with all of our being and loving others as ourselves is noticing ourselves and their selves, and very core of all is that image of God. And that is loving God. It's about who we are. It's about whose we are at the very core essence of our being. It's about integrity and authenticity. Some would say it's about salvation. Will we just pretend to love? Will we just pretend to care, but inside be filled with jealousy and greed and envy? Or will we become the embodiment of compassion and love? Will we take into our very bodies and allow our very bodies to show forth this essence of goodness and truth, to be released from everything that would hold us back from loving ourselves and others and thereby God? Freed from judging others, freed from the deception that the world would place upon us. That's salvation, living in that kind of freedom. Maybe one reason that it is so hard for this inner and outer to live as one, for the true convictions of the heart to be displayed to the world, is that perhaps we don't really know who we are. Perhaps we don't really remember the essence of our being, because there are so many that would label us and try to tell us who we are and whose we are. And we wear that branding. We wear that branding, the one that our parents gave us or our job gives us, the one that our bank account might give us, or that our mistakes or successes or our religion. We wear those labels when we are told that we're a success or a failure or a saint or a sinner or a good daughter or a bad girl. We take those in and we think that's who we are. We're identified as gifted or marked as slow. And we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, and yet if we don't really know the essence of who we are, it's so hard to recognize the essence of others. For both the Gnostic and what became the Orthodox Christians, the way of Jesus was about aligning the inner and the outer. Being truly who we are all the time, on Sunday morning and on Friday night when talking to our pastor or our buddies at work or at the game or at the school, lunch table. It's about putting down the mask that we wear. You see, that is where we get that word hypocrite. It comes from the theater. It comes from the Greek word that talked about the mask that they put on to show the character they were portraying. And we wear our masks, don't we? We think that we can hide from one another behind our masks of acceptability. Or we think perhaps we can hide from ourselves, or perhaps from God. Putting down our masks, laying aside that labels which we think give us our identity, and aligning our heart and our soul, aligning the inner and the outward. It entails a journey from that outward appearance to the very inner core of our being and who we are. And folks, that is a messy, messy journey. It is fraught with darkness. It is sometimes filled with pain, and quite often we would just as soon not go there. We would like to think that that vision is one of a beautiful athlete on this journey and running across the finish line, looking like someone that just stepped off of Shape Magazine or Sports Illustrated, a glorious victory lap, maybe with a bit of perspiration, but glowing nonetheless. But that journey to the core of unearthing the essence of who we are is really not quite so beautiful at times. Sometimes it's really more like one of those runs that's not around a track, but maybe a mud run. Maybe you've heard about those. Instead of running a track in the cute little outfit and finishing looking fairly okay, a mud run, a trail run, takes one up and down some steep inclines, and at some point along the trail, you guessed it, there is mud. Mud that one finds oneself belly down, slithering through, working its way in the ears and the eyes, and that's what they tell me, because I have not done so and do not intend to. But I think that's more like the journey of our souls. It gets a little messy. Gets a little dirty. What if the main intent of our faith, the notion of our salvation, the journey of our faith beings, were not quite so caught up without trying to figure out the next life, the getting to heaven part, but is as concerned with the right living of this life, discovering the essence of this life? What if our main intent was about love and loving all others and loving ourselves and noticing that that is one and the same self, the image of God that is in all others? Because that is loving God. There's a scene in Thornton Wilder's play, Our Town, in which the stage manager speaks these words. There are some things that we all know, but we don't take them out and look at them very often. We all know that there's something that's eternal. It ain't houses and names, it ain't the earth, it ain't even the stars, but there's something that is eternal, and that something has to do with human beings. Something down deep that is eternal about every human being. And what if that thing that is eternal, that thing is the true I, the true self? And what if as we discover that thing that is eternal, that is the true self in us, we discover that it is the true self in all others too. And that we can bring forth that self. We can allow that to emerge. We can give it new birth. We can bring it into the light. Call it what you may. It's that process of opening, that process of rejecting the labels that the world would tell us and opening up to let the light of God's love shine through this vessel. Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and he compares them to whitewashed tombs. White and shining, reflecting the sun on the outside, but inside there's rotting flesh and dead bones. Jesus speaks to his disciples in John's gospel, saying, "Live in me, and I will live in you. And if you love me, you'll do what I command." And what is it that he commands? Oh, yes, love God and love one another as you love yourself. And then God will give you another counselor, one that will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, and you will know the Spirit, that the Spirit lives in you and with you. See, the pathway of saving ourselves from the branding of the world is to discover this Spirit, this Christ that is within us, peeling back the mud and the layers that the world would give us, discovering the trueness of our being collectively. And when you make the two one, when you make the outer like the inner and the inner like the outer and the above like the below, then you will come into the fullness of your essence. The reign of God will be with you. It speaks of oneness. It speaks of wholeness. It speaks of completeness. It speaks of freedom and liberation and salvation. We speak of one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. We speak of one humanity, body, spirit, soul. Christ in us, God's Spirit in us. That's authenticity. It's a difficult journey. But we remember, we dare not travel it alone, for it is God's Spirit within that leads us. It is with companion pilgrims along the way that we journey. It is with the community of faith that supports us and encourages us. It is through those practices of our faith, of prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness and Bible study and conversation and dialogue. It is through our time together with God's Spirit in the midst of us. It's that way that we journey. That we journey to wholeness. Come, Spirit, come. May it be so. Amen.